Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. I'm Sam Bowler, and I'll be your co-host along with my wife, Natalie. Natalie is a licensed professional counselor in Nashville, Tennessee. She works primarily with survivors of complex trauma and specializes in dissociative disorders. The Resilient Mind is a platform for us and our guests to play our part in the bigger conversation around mental health. Specifically, we would like to raise awareness and understanding of complex trauma and dissociative disorders. So, whether you're a survivor yourself or you just stumbled upon this podcast, welcome to the conversation. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. As most of you are very well aware, if not all of you, we are in a bit of a strange time right now. It's a time that has a lot of uncertainty. And with that uncertainty is a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of isolation, and not knowing exactly what to do or what's going to happen next. So we wanted to talk about that and kind of how to address that today. Natalie, do you have some just kind of basic advice for people who are trying to navigate this time?
I do. I think there are a lot of things that you can do that will help you to get through this time period. I think one of them, if you are at home and working from home, or maybe you're not working, but you're just inside a lot of the time, I think one thing that's really helpful is to create some sort of structure for yourself. And that typically would include some kind of morning routine, some kind of schedule that you can put into place. Otherwise, I think a lot of people might end up either laying in bed or on the couch watching Netflix all day, which, you know, we all have those days.
What do you think are some things that you would maybe steer people away from that could be damaging or add to their anxiety in this time?
I think it's really important not to spend hours and hours and hours watching the news, on social media, looking at different articles and updates about the coronavirus. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, as well as a lot of conflicting information. And kind of how I've made sense of that is there's just a lot that we don't know, a lot that nobody really knows. And so I think it just creates fear and anxiety and paranoia. That's actually something that I have really tried to practice, is staying off the news, off of social media, or at least not clicking the articles that talk about coronavirus. And it has been really, I think, pretty effective in not getting me to a place of complete panic, because I think if you're feeding your mind all of this information about things that are going wrong right now, it's just really overwhelming. And of course, you're feeling panic.
So one of the things that I think is difficult about this is there are so many different factors contributing to anxiety and panic and fear. Can you speak to some of those specifics?
Sure. I know that, you know, I think there's the panic around being fearful of getting coronavirus, or maybe loved ones who are part of vulnerable populations that might get coronavirus. I think that's definitely a major one. I think another one, of course, for people is, you know, I know people who have already lost jobs or who have been told you're getting paid for this specific amount of time. And after that, you know, we will not be able to pay you anymore. So I think that the economy, people's jobs, that is causing a lot of panic. anything around finances right now, I think, feels really stressful. I think there is panic for people in the healthcare field because they're so overwhelmed by the amount of patients they're seeing and that kind of thing. So that can be another source of panic. Oddly, I think, you know, I think some trauma survivors are experiencing panic around like all the stuff that is going on. But I do also see some people that almost have this eerie calm about them. And I think part of that.
Wait, can you tell me, what do you mean by like eerie calm? Is it something that you see as a bad thing?
No, I don't see it as a bad thing, but I think that maybe people who have experienced so much chaos in their life are feeling this sense of calm, maybe feeling like, you know, they always live with so much hypervigilance anyways or so much anxiety anyways. And so maybe it feels like, okay, it's finally happened. That whatever that big thing was that I was afraid of happening, it is here. Maybe they feel prepared to deal with that. I think another piece could be that, you know, we're all in this trauma, but the trauma is coming from a virus. The trauma is not coming from another human being that's trying to hurt you on purpose. And so I think for that reason, it may not feel as scary. But for some of those people, you know, I think also they have attachment issues. And so then with the idea of having to see your therapist online, there's so much fear and anxiety. All the abandonment issues are getting triggered. And there are feelings of, am I ever going to see my therapist again? I don't want to meet online. It doesn't feel the same as in person. I don't feel the same connection. So there might be fear and anxiety around that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about specifically people who are seeing mental health professionals and what that looks like right now, since, you know, most of that, if not all of that right now, is being done virtually and online, and it's a different experience than sitting face to face. What are some encouraging things you could say to someone who is apprehensive about doing telehealth and all that?
I think the way that I'm working is I'm trying to make it feel as similar as I possibly can. I think it's important to acknowledge that it is not the same. It is awkward. It is uncomfortable. It is an adjustment. It's not the same feeling as being in the office with somebody. But I think there are some amazing therapists and providers out there who are doing free trainings right now on how to make this transition as comfortable for clients as possible. So just over the weekend, I took a telehealth training. I took an EMDR for telehealth training and a sensory motor training that was talking about how to use that for telehealth as well. And I know something in the training that Pat Ogden did, she's the creator of sensory motor psychotherapy. She was talking about this idea of testing out, like, does it feel more comfortable if your therapist sits closer to the computer, or does it feel more comfortable with your therapist sitting away from the computer and moving back and forward and finding what feels right to the client and being collaborative in that process. I know that another thing that was talked about is what sort of rituals can you do at the beginning and the end of the session? So maybe that's lighting a candle, and maybe your therapist lights a candle and maybe you light a candle. You know, in separate rooms, but you're doing this thing together that symbolizes the starting of a session. And then maybe at the end, you both are blowing out your candles, those sort of things. I think the process, being as collaborative as possible, is really helpful in finding what works. And I think something that I have in mind is clients might say to me, your office is the only safe place for me, the only safe place I go during the whole week. And so something that I think can be really helpful too is working with your therapist on creating maybe a guided sensory experience of what does it feel like when you walk into your therapist building? What does it feel like when you walk into their waiting room? What does it feel like when they come out to get you and they seem happy to see you, and then walking with them back to their office? And then as you sit down and settle in on their couch, how does it feel to really be with them? Like, what in your body tells you that you're not alone, that somebody's with you and there for you? So I think those things can be really helpful too, because I think we're all just trying to make the best of a really awful situation. And there's so many unknowns, so many uncertainties. There's no way for us to know how long this is going to last. And so I think what we're trying to do is create the best situation out of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think I would also add, while it's true, there are a lot of unknowns and we don't know how long this will last, it is important to, you know, maintain hope that we will get through this at some point. We don't know when that's going to be, and it might be a long time. It might not be that long of a time. We really don't know. But having faith that this is temporary and, you know, looking forward to the time when you can go back into the therapist's office is important.
And I think that's true of this entire situation. Any hope we can find in it and any hope we can cling on to is really, really helpful. And sometimes you may not have hope and you need to borrow it from somebody else, or maybe somebody else doesn't have hope and they need to borrow some from you. I think during this time, although we might be separated, we don't have to be isolated. And I think getting through trauma and difficult times is so much easier when it's, you know, a shared experience where you're not alone in it and there are people to support you and help you through.
Definitely. I don't know if you had any more plans that you wanted to say about this, but I would like to hear just a little bit more about how to cope with being in that isolation and the social distancing side of things.
So I think that's really, really important. I think social distancing doesn't have to mean social isolation. And I think it's so important right now to remain connected to people. And so a good way of doing that might be through FaceTime. And so, like, for example, we had friends and they suggested that we meet for a date night. And that was done through FaceTime. I know, Sam, unfortunately, you were not able to be there. But I think that was, you know, the closest thing we can get to being in the same room with those people. So that was, I think, a really creative, nice experience. I think it's also great if you're at home with your kids to spend some really good, intentional quality time with them, maybe that you're not always able to have, at least not the same quantity that you are able to have right now. You know, if you live with roommates, if you live with a partner or spouse, trying to take intentional time to connect with each other can be really helpful. For those of you who are living alone, I think this is a particularly challenging time, and panic can set in about that. People can worry about, when am I going to be able to go outside my house? And so I think that is an important thing to keep in mind. And I think this amount of isolation for somebody can easily lead to depression. And so any ways of connecting with people through FaceTime, through texting, through whatever sort of video platform on a computer. I also think another solution could be going for a walk outside. I think movement is really important right now. Yes. And actually, I think there are a lot of people that are offering free things online, like yoga, mindfulness, meditation. I think anything like that that you can take advantage of is great. Something else that I had in mind that I wanted to talk about is if you are working from home, something that can happen is your home has now become your work and your work has become your home. And so you can have a feeling of, you can't escape it. And so I think one way of dealing with that is containing. And so if that means you work in one particular room, and then when you're not working, you're not in that room, I think that's great. I had consultation earlier today and it was recommended that I do some smudging of that room. And so if anybody doesn't know what smudging is, it's like burning of, for example, sage. And so kind of clearing the room of that negative energy.
So would you like burn that sage, for instance, in the room? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Never heard of that before.
And then I think some people are like, oh, great, this is a time where I can get so much done at my house. And they're creating lists and lists of projects to do when maybe setting that expectation of yourself in this very stressful time, isn't really attainable. And then I think people can end up feeling disappointed in themselves for not getting everything done that they wanted to get done. And so I think it's important to have grace with yourself. Have self-compassion and just know this is a hard time for everybody. And, I think it's okay if you don't get tons and tons of things done right now. I also want to just talk about how we can help each other through this time. And I know there's a lot of fear and anxiety, but I think, it makes me really sad going to the grocery store and seeing, some people wandering around looking in despair and sad and confused, not being able to find anything on the shelves that they need. And so I think, yeah, of course, get what you need. But if you have a friend or know of somebody that can't find something at the store and you can give them some of what you have, I think that's great. I think any way of helping people can help you get through this time as well.
Yeah, I think that we all have so much to offer in terms of being able to give encouragement and support to each other, and that's what everybody really needs right now. So anything we can do to help somebody else in even the smallest way is super important.
Yeah, and I think that includes anybody who has already lost their job. I know a lot of businesses are closed right now or shutting down, or small businesses are at risk. And so, any way that you can help to support people who maybe aren't as fortunate as yourself, if you happen to be fortunate enough to have a job and able to contribute and help others, I think that's a great way for. A great way to be there for those that don't have a job or aren't as fortunate right now.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to share just to people who are going through this like we all are?
I think to just keep in mind that we are all experiencing this collective trauma really worldwide right now, and there's so much uncertainty, which I think for people who already have trauma histories can be really triggering, that feeling of not knowing what's going to happen and the unpredictability of things. But I think to remember that you are not alone in this, and any way that we can come together and be there for each other is so important right now. If there is a video you see, or a poem you read, or a really inspiring book, anything that's bringing up hope for you, share it with somebody else. I think we all really need hope right now. And also just to focus on the fact that This is not going to last forever. I have hope that this time will end and that we will all get through this together.
Thank you for listening. We are going to be putting out another episode next Monday, as always. And as long as this whole coronavirus situation and quarantine situation is happening, we will continue to offer any support we can for that.